Hey everyone, welcome to Founders 365 with me, Stephen Haggerty. Today I'm joined by the co-founder of Fellow, Mr. Anthony Chapman. How are you today, Anthony?
I'm good, thanks, Stephen.
Thank you so much for being here. And, you know, let's get this out in the open. This is your first. I'm your first. So I appreciate you trusting me. And like we said, we'll be gentle. But I'm thrilled that I am your first, because it makes it a lot more fun for me, because you have no idea what to expect, I guess.
Yes, it's been a while since this has been my first time. So yeah, please be delicate.
I will, don't you worry. So let's just jump straight into this and give the listeners an overview of what Fellow is, what you do, and what you offer.
So Fellow is an independent design studio based in South London, specializing in brand strategy and identity. We often describe ourselves as sort of step zero, you know, working with brands to sort of build out what we feel it should be the focus of their brand world. So it's not always necessarily about rebrands and new logos. A lot of the time it's looking at brand growth, brand consistency, and actually how you can adapt so that your brand proposition and business proposition align better, you know, especially in current climates. Loads of people have pivoted, and not necessarily does their brand reflect now what their kind of unique offering is. So yeah, like I say, going back to it, we often see ourselves as step zero, as it's kind of like getting the house in order before then going out and kind of pushing new narratives. You know, at the end of the day, branding is occupying a space or a perception in someone's mind, and that's what we really help our clients to do.
I love that, step zero. I've never heard it been described in that way, but it makes complete sense in terms of getting those foundations in place, like you said. So if we go back to those early days, what was going on for you? What was going on in your world where, you know, you and your co-founder Paul got together and thought, right, this is the time to start Fellow?
So it's a kind of cliche story,
a bit of cliche, don't worry.
So Paul and I have been sort of best friends for like 13 years. We met at university, you know. I haven't been able to get rid of the guy since, but
but classic, like Mitchell and Webb type situation.
And we sort of both went bright-eyed and bonny-faced into the design world, being like, oh my gosh, we're gonna work at the big agencies. And you know, to a testament to our hard work, you know, we did manage to get into those sort of agencies. But I think after a while, you know, we would often, you know, socially meet up anyway as friends, but you know, we'd always be talking work. We both had a real passion for design, sort of felt like partners in crime, really. And in the end, we sort of would meet up regularly enough for the beers, as it were. And I think one day we just noticed that the more interesting work and kind of better sort of relationships for design were coming from the smaller studios. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've kind of been toying with the idea for Fellow for quite a while. Literally, like I say, tale as old as time. One day, few too many beers.
Domain name was brought, and the rest is history.
I found myself one night drinking beers with him, deciding that it's going to happen, and next day walking in with my resignation.
Move.
Yeah, but you know, we'd been sort of collaborating for years before that anyway. So what we really wanted to do was focus on how we can deliver not only the best creativity, but the best kind of sort of offering to clients, you know, in terms of processes, without trying to sound too nerdy and killing the fun. But we were seeing at the sort of larger agencies we work for, sort of kind of inefficiencies that were getting in the way of creativity.
Yeah.
So what we really wanted to do was sort of focus on that best in class experience as well of working with like an agency, as well as the creativity itself, just so it didn't feel like that kind of creativity magic, you know. It was like, no, creativity is definitely a skill that people can learn, hone, and improve on. And we're quite big, you know, we're both old school classic graphic designers, you know, kind of Wim Crow sort of raised on him, and just being like, yeah, there's definitely a discipline here, and you can better yourself, and that betterment can be to the advantage of your clients. So how can we design a system? Basically just treat it like a design brief. We're like, how can we design a system around agency offering that actually is, you know, takes away risk, improves value for the client, and actually makes them feel that everything's a bit smooth and like, yeah, actually that was really good.
But you know, bring that human element to it, I guess, as well.
Yeah, because we talk a lot with our clients. We're very kind of collaboration, kind of like workshop, joint, you know, not a problem between us, a problem that we're solving together.
Yeah.
And that was a big impetus for Fellow. In fact, our internal mantra is being cahoots, which is really the whole idea that, you know, one day Paul and I as friends thought, let's be in cahoots, let's be partners in crimes. Mm. We wanted to extend that mentality to our clients and be like, yeah, who's actually looking for a more engaged creative process, something they can be quite a contributing member to, but also in a way where we can offer expertise, you know, yeah, so that it's, you know, you capture those brilliant ideas in conversation, those off-cuff comments that someone makes and you go, hold on, that's brilliant. And what can we do with that? And in a way, you use their insights and their relation to their brand, mix it with your expertise and knowledge of kind of like how to communicate and occupy that narrative in a kind of audience's mind. And that's the magic.
Yeah.
That's actual magic, human to human engagement.
That's the stuff that they can never teach you as well, I'm guessing, at university or even in any role. It has to come up naturally. For you, you know, you mentioned that you and Paul are old school graphic designers, which I love that phrase anyway. But when you both decided, okay, now's the time to join, start Fellow, how was the transition for you guys from sort of supported agency with teams in place? And obviously, if anything went wrong, you probably got a little bit of cushioning, let's say, in terms of protection. But when it's just you, when it's you direct with the clients, it's your business, it's your baby, how was the transition for you guys into moving into that role of, I guess, just business owner?
Yeah, like it was a shock, really. You know, we're both, like I say, design background. And, you know, it was quite new. There was a lot of learning, but we're both really obsessive kind of individuals, really detail driven. So it actually just gave us something else to research, to understand. Paul often jokes I'm just like a sponge, and he often says I just sit you in front of a book half the time and you'll know the answer. And Paul's like a really I know everyone says I'm a really visual thinker, but I mean, like, he really is. Like the way he, you know, one of my friends said it well. I think of design as a verb, where Paul thinks of design as a noun. You know, he's very kind of like, he'll talk to you if you had to describe something, he'll talk in shapes, he'll talk in pictures, where I'll talk in story and talk in idea. So that was kind of a really, like that yin and yang was really helpful at the beginning when we had to just do so much learning, because, you know, it wasn't that one of us was right. Actually, we had quite different perspectives when it came to tackling the problem. And that's,
but I guess that's such a benefit though, isn't it? If you both saw things in the exact same way, if you conquered problems with the same solutions, then that's the danger of becoming a very narrow track business. It sounds like you complement each other's ways of working extremely well.
Yeah, and we were really lucky. We reached out to a lot of individuals. We joined quite a lot of kind of community networks. Obviously went to as many networking events and just sort of held up our hands and just were like, you know, can we speak to you? You know, just wanting to know questions, and people were really open. So obviously don't want to call out anyone specifically, but I would like to take this as a moment to thank anyone that has ever had a conversation with me and Paul. You know, anyone that's ever just given us a piece of their time to say, like, this is my viewpoint, this is how I've tackled that problem.
It's funny how many people will give you the time, though. I think this is it's such a great point you bring up, because I feel like a lot of people, not just founders, but people in general, fear just having conversations without that agenda, you know, without that agenda of, hey, they want to sell to me or they want to buy from me. It's just actually, let's just share some thoughts. Let's just share some minds. That's where I feel you get those real special moments, especially at events.
Definitely. And just being humble. I mean, from the beginning, Paul and I were both quite humble to go. We always say, like, who's the best batter? You know, like, let's not just put me and you to do it because, you know, we think we're great. It's like, actually, no, we're terrible at that. So that's fine. So understand the challenge, understand the strengths that you need to bring to it.
Yeah.
and then actually sort of figure out, is it me that should be doing it? And, you know, trying to, that was a real big part. So we've, you know, invested in ourselves in training, but we've also invested in others around us, trusting the team, you know, classic one that everyone says, but it's really true. Like, who is best for this job? And it isn't always me and Paul.
Exactly. And then team dynamics and everything that comes with that as well. Let's talk about Fellow and the growth that you guys have had. I'm curious to know, in terms of the clients you work with, was that something from day one that you wanted to make sure that you were working with a specific type of client, or have you fallen into sort of working with specific types?
No, we've been from the beginning deliberately, we like to say, industry agnostic. And going back to my sort of comment, I guess, of being like old school graphic designers, we really do just see everything as essentially a communication challenge. So when it comes to our specialism of branding, there is a kind of discipline to that, and there is an understanding of how you occupy narrative, you know, first create the narrative, then understand how you reinforce it, and then understand actually accessibility for that messaging for your audience. So in a way, every industry goes up against that challenge, but they have certain niches and insights, and that's what we feel is our kind of, by staying true to that, like, you know, branding core discipline, it allows us to take those learnings from other industries and just go, oh, actually, and then mix it in. You know, for example, one of our clients is working in the food and drink industry. Their particular challenge was about creating an environment for stories. And ultimately, that's about human engagement, calls, chats. And then we started taking some of our insights from the telecoms clients we've been working with, you know, because they're all about conversations. So food and drink conversations, phone call conversations, it's all people. So
all communication.
So how can we start to bring in those kind of outside thinkings? And that's actually what we think is the strength of being quite industry agnostic.
Yeah. And also you're simplifying it down to those core sort of human elements that everyone works towards, which I think is such a refreshing way to do it. You're not overcomplicating things. You're just getting right down to that core communication, which is really ideal. For you, what have been some of the challenges then along the way? Because one thing I'm always curious to know about when I'm speaking to branding people or marketing people is it's a very noisy industry. It's a very busy industry. I think there's a lot of people in it. There's a lot of people that want to be in it. How have you made sure that you've kept your sanity and made sure that you're still being heard above those others and connected with the right people?
Yeah, well, you know, quite lucky, obviously, being part of a duo always helps. You know, you've always got a little bit of sanity there by having your mates next to you. You know, at one moment we're pulling our hair out, the next minute we're just like laughing at a silly sort of image or gif. You know,
you need to have the balance.
Yeah, but in terms of like noise against everyone else, without turning too self-obsessed, but it's just, once again, going back to that design challenge of the agency and what is the answer that we came to, and then being like, right, well, how do we best portray that, communicate that, and just sort of coming back to that idea of, look, we just want to do this in a way that creates optimum value and creativity for clients. That's our like core.
Yeah.
We just need to make sure that we're consistent with that. You know, ultimately, it's a branding challenge for a branding agency.
You should be able to tackle it. Let's put it that way. And I guess one of the questions I love to ask, but why do you do this? Why is this so important to you? Because I guess there's so many other ways that you could be doing what you're doing and still getting those kicks in terms of working with clients, but why is it so important to you, and why do you do what you do now within Fellow? Big question.
Yeah, big question. I think being able to have those kind of really intimate relationships with clients, for me personally, I'm the son of a black cab driver. My dad can talk for England, so can I. And it, for me, it's just really nice just feeling a little bit more connected, you know, less kind of working for clients, more working with them. So that's for me. Yeah, just waking up every day and going like, actually, I can send a cool idea to someone and be like, you know, this is really going to help, or even not that, even if it's just, oh, I'm sorry, even if it's just looking at the something I've seen, just sharing, it just feels a bit more familiar, and less kind of cog in a machine, which was kind of really what drove me and Paul away from the large agency model, was just feeling a little bit, you know, bit small cog, big machine, where now it's irrelevant. I'm not a cog, I'm just Ant.
Oh, I love that. Just Ant. But so much more than just Ant as well, don't worry. For you, you mentioned that obviously it helps that you're a juror, it helps that you know, you're co-founders. I think the debate of a founder versus co-founder relationship is what is an interesting one on its own. Do you think, or a better question here is, what do you do to make sure that your support network is up to scratch? What do you do to make sure that, you know, obviously you and Paul are together, but individually you still need to have that support? So how do you make sure that you're showing up, you're both showing up, and you're giving the business what it needs?
Yeah, like I've always been really fortunate to have like a just wicked bunch of people close to me. I've always really valued friendship. I know like that sounds a bit kind of like, of course, who doesn't? But I mean,
the technical like, term of wicked bunch, I like.
Yeah. I think throughout a lot of my life, just made sure I've wanted to maintain that garden of friendships, and, you know, not just so when I'm having a tough day, I can lean into them and be like, oh my God, life is so hard. But no, just, you know, people that you can just sort of almost like disappear into and just laugh and just be like, great, I'm for this moment, I'm here, and that's great. So yeah, but just been really lucky, just making sure as well to understand kind of boundaries of business and life. You know, for example, lockdown, real challenge, working from home remotely, both me and my partner. We have like a 2-bed flat. It's, you know, not a lot of room, and we don't have a garden, so, you know, like many Londoners. So it was just understanding that when I'm with her, I'm with her. I don't need to talk about work, even though I just probably come from a different room. I've walked like 2 meters, but you know, it's just being respectful of those boundaries, you know, knowing when you can ask for support, also knowing when you need to show support to them by just kind of keeping it to yourself for a bit, just so you can like watch TV or something. And then that's what you both actually need, rather than venting.
I think boundaries is super important, and you're spot on there. In terms of remote working, then, this is an interesting topic, obviously, because of current times. Do you miss the office? Do you miss sort of sitting down with Paul and having those creative minds together with the team and those sort of team dynamics?
Yeah, definitely. When it was allowed, both Paul and I had returned to the studio socially distanced, following all the rules, of course.
Of course.
But yeah, that was great, because when we did the initial lockdown and we were really remote, we've, in terms of the services we offer, there's not been a massive disruption. We were kind of remote ready even before lockdown. You know, people worked from home, that was cool. We've sort of developed a bit of a kind of digital office culture, you know, like for example we use Google Workspace, so we've always have a kind of studio chat, you know, just for gifts and silly things, you know, just chats,
just like the cooling, whatever, the drinks machine chat, I can't remember what it's called now,
the water cooler
moments. Yeah, that's it. I think those are some of the moments that people miss the most when it's remote. And there's a lot of solutions now being pushed to market, which is so good to hear that. For you, then, if we talk about the future, what's next for you guys at Fellow? What have you got under your sleeves? What's the next sort of growth plan over the next, let's say 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, just we've actually been talking a lot this year about really living our values. At Fellow, especially our sort of internal mantra of being cahoots. So we've been in a lot of discussion with the team. You know, typically we're always looking for those kind of clients, you know, people who are sort of brave and ambitious and really want to get sort of stuck in. But obviously, you know, business is business. That can't always be the case. So we started looking outside of just the work we do with clients. It's how can we start offering more sort of support or engagement in communities. We've actually been working with Tooting and Mitcham United Football Club, just helping them. They're a great organisation that are obviously really community driven and super engaged with the sort of like youth with their academy, as well as sort of small businesses. You know, it's a great space. And it's really looking at opportunities like that, how we can start living more of our values as a team, start offering that value and kind of creating more than just ourselves, as it were. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, with limitations, obviously, of current stuff. But that's kind of the plan. We're sort of a deliberately lean agency, sort of trying to be offering the sort of bespoke team. So in terms of business growth, you know, sort of necessary growth over the next sort of year is kind of the goal. But we've not put a kind of headcount target or anything. It's actually more about how the team are feeling.
It's so refreshing to hear that, and it's so obvious and clear that you are someone that really links in with their values and makes sure that the business and clients link in with that too. And I think from a branding world and an agency world or a marketing world, a lot of people miss that. A lot of people skip that, like I said earlier, that sort of human-to-human connection, that human-to-human communication. God, that's a mouthful. And it sounds like you guys are really hitting the nail on the head there, which is so refreshing to hear. I guess one of my final questions then, Anthony, is how can people find out more about you, man? How can people find out more about Fellow, follow some more of the things that you're doing? I'm really hoping that you're going to be on a lot more podcasts now.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No. Typical channels, obviously. The website is a great place to start with us, see the sort of work we do. We've also got our journal, so fellowstudio.com. And if you have fellowstudio.com/journal, that's kind of our sort of thoughts, sort of stuff, our musings around design and sort of current landscapes, things like that. If not, both Paul and I are both really active on LinkedIn, so feel free to obviously connect with us there. And yeah, you know, sort of the Instagram. I mean, yeah, it's all the usual.
TikTok.
We've been thinking about ways to bring in more video, and one of the team did mention TikTok, but I don't know. I don't know if that's
TikTok is a scary place if you don't do it right.
Yeah. I think that was my big question, was what's our perspective on TikTok? Are we the dance group? Are we comedy?
Maybe the branding dancing group. I think that, and hopefully we would see you on Britain's Got Talent if that ever takes off.
That's probably the real growth goal for 2021.
There we go. I want to see a TikTok channel now. I want you to email it to me. 100% has to happen. Anthony, listen, thank you so much for coming on. I've really appreciated your time and your chat, and I always like talking to you, and I appreciate your support with me. I know that you came to our founder events early on, so I appreciate that. And I wish you all the best, and thank you again for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone else, for listening and watching. This has been Founders 365.